guys, so this is Lawrence McNeil. I'm tuning in to this segment of Plus Minus. Welcome. I'm glad you guys are listening. I want to talk about, obviously, the NBA playoffs. We've already stepped about two or three games into the second round, and let me tell you, fireworks. Fireworks. I'm going to kick it off, and I'm going to start off with talking about the Toronto Raptors. The Toronto Raptors are the biggest joke in the NBA. By far, the biggest joke. They are more of a joke than the OKC Thunder. By far. You are going to lead the league. You're going to lead the East, sorry. And play like that in the playoffs? Come on. Come on. We've been talking about this for years now. You would think they would step up to the plate and start proving people wrong. They're getting dismantled by one man on a fourth seeded team. A team that struggled all season. A team that literally had two different rosters this season. A team that has four guys, let's say, on the squad that have veteran playoff experience. But those guys are trash. Trash. Come on. They're trash. You can't sit there and tell me that J.R. Smith is something to be worried about. You can't sit there and tell me that Kyle Korver is somebody to worry about. I mean, if he gets hot, he gets hot. You can't sit there and tell me Tristan Thompson is somebody to worry about. Kevin Love, too inconsistent for me to say anybody's got to worry about him. I want to take a step back and ask these Toronto Raptors fans, about Dwayne Casey? What has he done? He's brought a team to the playoffs, but has done nothing with that team. This team cannot get over the hump of LeBron James. It's embarrassing as a Canadian to hear that the best city in our country is getting a nickname called LeBronto. Deservingly so. He owns the Toronto Raptors. He owns them. And that's embarrassing. So let me go back to Dwayne Casey. You guys say he's a defensive coach, but I don't see it. I don't know why you guys have your players doubling up or tripling up on LeBron. Have we not come to the conclusion, like Nate McMillan has done with his Indiana Pacers? Have we not come to the conclusion that you got to let LeBron score his 40 points and lock down his other options? I don't understand why this is so difficult for dumbass Casey. I just don't get it. This team, it's over. The Toronto Raptors, it's over. This little 5-year, 6-year streak that we had of being a contender, falsely, is over. We've now proven to the entire NBA that the Toronto Raptors cannot win. They are not a team you go to win. They aren't even a team to go to and enjoy. Listen, it's already hard enough to convince players to come to a different country to play on a team in the same league. What is our pitch going to be to a player after this kind of performance? There is no pitch. There is nothing you can say. There is nothing you can do. And there is nothing you can bring forth to an argument or even a discussion to influence anybody that this isn't going to happen again. Because you know what? You missed, your timeline is gone. This was the year. This was the year to at least make it to the finals and make a statement in the league and maybe bring in some talent. You signed Kyle Lowry for 3 years, 100 mil. Why? I don't know. I would have made this season the prove to me season. Masai Ujiri, whatever the hell his name is, Masai, overrated. I just need these Toronto Raptors fans to just shut the hell up and sit down and accept the fact that LeBron is now the new owner. And accept the fact that whatever management does in the offseason isn't gonna suffice to nothing. There's nothing. Nobody's coming to Toronto. So our only hope is get rid of everybody, obtain some draft picks, and build around that. That's your only hope. That's your only hope is rebuild time. Especially in a conference that's going to be the future of the NBA. The East is going to be the future of the NBA, finally. Because you have teams like Boston, Milwaukee, you have teams like Philadelphia, and I'm missing one. Who am I missing? You got the Indiana. You got all these teams that are young and hungry, and they're only getting better as the seasons go by. And then you have the Toronto Raptors trying to play, trying to shuffle their cards. They're trying to obtain draft picks. They're trying to get young talent, but they're also trying to keep their main two stars and then contend for a title. Which one is it? Which one is it? The Raptors not a five seed, they've figured it out. Why haven't you? I don't know. And I'm so glad, me personally, as a fan of basketball in the NBA, I'm just glad I never hopped on that hype train. The hype train of Toronto. I knew they were nothing when Kyle Lowry got blocked by Paul Pierce back in 2014, 2015. I knew it was over. I knew they were never going to do nothing. And then they made the Eastern Conference Finals. Everybody was blowing them up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got the stopper, Biombo. We got this guy. You guys won two games. Congratulations. The most games you've ever won against your owner. Now, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. I don't know what your plans are. I don't know. But I'm just saying it's over for the franchise. This was the year to prove it to everybody. And you failed. You failed. You're 2-0 at home. Now you're going to Cleveland. That's a sweep. My broom is steadily sitting beside me as I watch this series. Because every game, I'm just going to start sweeping. Sweeping, sweeping, sweeping. Because you know what? Honestly, it was a sweep before it even started. It was a sweep before it even started. You would think Casey would take notes from Nate McMillan. I can't believe what I'm seeing. And it's like, oh, Lawrence, why can't you believe it? You know what happens every year. Yeah, I know what happens every year, but, you know, as a Canadian, I do have my optimism, my deep down inside optimism. Yeah, I've been calling them out all season saying they ain't going to do nothing. But you always have that little, you know, that little voice inside you that's saying, you know, it's being optimistic because it's for my country. It's for my city that I was born and raised in. That's all gone to waste. And that's that. And that's over. LeBron James playing phenomenal. Phenomenal. Yes, yes he is. And I don't have nothing but respect for the dude. But I will say this. I will say this. Don't get excited, LeBron fans. Don't get excited. I know before at the beginning I had Philly coming out of the East. But ever since I said that, the Celtics have been doing something I can't speak of. These guys are playing. These guys are playing basketball, and I'm so excited because I love it. This is system style play, and this is what needs to take over the NBA. None of this ISO ball. And I can't wait. I can't wait until the Eastern Conference Finals when it's ISO ball versus system ball. And I'm going to put my word on it that Brad Stevens already has his plan for LeBron James. He already has his plan for LeBron James. He legit already has his plan for LeBron James. He has his plan for LeBron James, and I can't wait to see it because this ISO style ball is not going to be enough against Brad Stevens' system. The thing about Brad Stevens' system is that on any given night, you can have somebody that is going to drop 20 to 25 a game. Like, every game, it's something different. You can have Rozier dropping, you know, 25. You can have Tatum dropping 25. You can have Al Horford dropping 25. Like, any of these guys can get hot. If it's any year to say what Tyronn Lue said last year, it would be this year. The Celtics have firepower. They have firepower. There's something about that system and the development team behind the Celtics that really puts their players in a position to excel at what they do. I'm watching Terry Rozier. He's averaging 19-7-5. 19-7-5. And in the season, he was averaging like 12 points, like 3-2 or something like that. Al Horford is our GOAT. This guy is balling, and I love it because I've always liked Al Horford. Even when he was on the Hawks and he was trying to beat up on KG and that in those series, I loved Al Horford because he came at them. He's got a style of play that is just perfectly crafted for Brad Stevens. It's perfectly crafted for Brad Stevens, and I'm a huge Celtics fan, yes. And there's no bias in what I'm saying, because if you guys remember, I was saying Philly was going to come out of this round. I didn't think Celtics were ready. We're ready. And we haven't even, in these two games in this series, we haven't even had our best player. Well, that could change, but we haven't even had our projected best player, Jaylen Brown. He hasn't even been on the ball. He was gone in game one, and then in game two, he came off the bench and played limited minutes. And we're still balling. I can't wait, because now that everybody sees what LeBron is doing against Toronto, they say, oh, Cleveland's going back to the finals. Oh, you know, the NBA doesn't want that to happen, doesn't want Toronto, whatever. I don't believe in conspiracies, and I don't believe in fixing. I don't believe it. I'm too passionate with this sport for me to believe in something like that. We'll say this. I don't think LeBron's going to the finals. I think it's a waste of time, to be honest with you. Because it doesn't matter who goes to the finals from the East. They're going to get beat. But the way I see it is put the Celtics in the finals. Because that's a team that's going to go to the finals this year. They're going to lose. They're going to come back next season with their full squad. They're going to go back to the finals, and they're going to win. That is a story, and I like it. It sounds good, and it just makes sense. I really want to see this matchup, Celtics versus Cleveland, because I don't think Cleveland stands a chance. I really don't. We don't need Kyrie. We don't need Gordon Hayward. Right now, the guys that we have playing for us are defensive-minded hustlers that are finding a way to get it done. And it's not even that they're finding a way to get it done. As a collective unit, including the coaching staff, they're all figuring it out. They're locking down the best players on each team and doing what they need to do to keep moving forward. The only guy that really had a heyday was Antetokounmpo in Game 6 and Game 5 and Game 6. But that's about it. I don't think Brad Stevens is going to let that happen again. We have length, we have height, we have size, and we have intelligent players. This is my segment on the East. And tomorrow I'll bring you a segment on the West. But the East deserved its own segment because there's so much stuff going on over there. Ben Simmons is going to be Rookie of the Year. I need people to stop. They need to stop right now with the Donovan Mitchell talks. He's a great, great player. Amazing player. Amazing. But as a rookie, when you have almost averaged a triple-double during the season, I can't ignore that. That is my Rookie of the Year. That is my Rookie of the Year. Averaging a triple-double, losing your best player, and going on a 16-game winning streak. And you don't want to give that Rookie of the Year award to him? I think people have a huge problem with Ben Simmons only because his game resembles LeBron James. And I don't like that. That's not fair. That's not fair at all. LeBron James set the standard, and we all followed. And we all knew that the standard that he was setting, a lot of young players are going to follow that. And here's the first one. Why are we hating on it? He's not just getting triple-doubles to get triple-doubles like Westbrook. That was because he's hustling his ass off. He's working his ass off. So let's just pay homage to this guy. Rookie of the Year, Ben Simmons. Donovan Mitchell, great scorer, but I can't give an award to a man that averages 23-3 over a guy that averages 15-7-7. I just can't do it. Where's the basketball logic behind that? There is none. This is Lawrence McNeil, and I'm signing out. See y'all tomorrow, West segment. Goodbye. You know what? I had time, so I'm going to finish it off. I'm going to kick right into the West right now, and you already know, we're in the second round and all that stuff, and When it comes to the West, there's just one major disappointment that it's going to take me a while to get over. Super, super upset about it, and that's the OKC Thunder. Like the Toronto Raptors, they choked. They're an embarrassment. They're a disappointment. And I just don't know where they go from here. Like, where do you go? Where do you go from here? Like, I just don't know. Like, where do you go from here? You've already gave Russell Westbrook that amazing extension. The man's getting paid, deservingly so. MVP, and he works hard. Second season with a triple double. But the thing is, and he made it evident this season, it's hard to win with Westbrook. I'm not going to say you can't win with Westbrook, but it's hard to win with Westbrook. Me and Ebby had a discussion on this a couple days ago, and I straight up told him, I was like, you can't win with Westbrook. He was a super fan. Like, he loves Westbrook. So I understand his defense. And I got to a point where I was starting to understand his defense. But the thing is you got to, like, when it comes to Westbrook, I don't know. He's like he kind of reminds me of like a young Kobe, like after Shaq. You know, this is Westbrook after KD. He's doing everything he can. You know, he's got a team, except Kobe never had the team that Westbrook had there. You know, he never had a Paul George or a Melo. Close, but not those guys. Westbrook, man, please, something's got to give. That loss to Utah has got to be the deepest, most cutting loss in his career. It has to be. Just like when MJ lost to Detroit. You know, he made an oath he's never going to lose to those guys again. I personally see a lot in Westbrook. I see a great future in him. I would love for him to have changed his style of play. And, you know, incorporate a winning attitude. I don't know what it is. Like, the guy wants to win. I can't say he doesn't have a winning attitude. The guy wants to win. But I don't know. Like, the way he's trying to do it is not something that I see as a winning style of play. He needs to stop with the jacking up the shots and all that stuff. Like, he needs to actually get in the gym and work on his craft so that way he doesn't have to put up 40 to 50 shots. Not 50, obviously, but he doesn't have to put up 30 to 40 shots to make his 20 points. His 20 to 30 points. That's got to stop. And Paul George, I don't think he's staying. I would love him to, but I don't think he's staying. Melo, he's going to stay because he wants his money. So he's going to stay. And he's just going to steal Oklahoma's money. The man didn't even play. Like, when I watch OKC play, I almost forget that Melo's on the team. And I'm like, oh yeah, Melo. Ain't doing nothing. As usual. And the best part about it is, like, I remember last season, all the Melo fans, true Melo fans, like, they were sticking up for him, saying, oh, New York isn't his place, you know, he's getting treated wrong, da-da-da, da-da-da. All right, so let's go throw him alongside the MVP and Paul George. And look what happened. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I'm going to write off OKC for this year, just because I'm a fan. I like Westbrook. I really like Westbrook. But I'm going to write them off this year, and I'm going to keep my ears open, and I'm going to pay close attention to what that management staff, like the management and the ownership, what they're going to plan on doing in the offseason. Like, I'm going to keep a close ear to that because I'm very, very intrigued. Like, the way I see it, and I put this on my social media the other day, is, like, you need to have those guys that just shut up and ball to play alongside Westbrook, like the Steven Adams and the Robertsons and all that, because these guys just go out there and ball. So the way I see it is, like, you got to give them, like, a guy like a Klay Thompson or even, you know, go for the reach, and a guy like Kawhi Leonard. These guys just shut up and play. And they both played alongside greats. So they know how to bring their game back and play a role. I think Klay Thompson is a perfect fit for Westbrook. He can defend. He can shoot the ball. and he can overall score and defend. He's a great two-way player. So if I'm OKC, I'm looking at trying to obtain Klay Thompson from Golden State. I think that's a great fit, and it just makes sense. But I also, if I'm OKC, I'm looking at what am I gonna do with Westbrook? Do I keep him at the one, or do I push him at the two? Like what do you do? If I'm Westbrook, don't be a point guard no more. Don't worry about passing the ball and rebounding the ball. Don't worry about having the ball in your hands. And don't worry about controlling the ball the whole time. If I'm Westbrook, I want to move to the two so that way I can go and ball out and do what I need to do. Just score. You know, just score. You know, average like your 30, you know, 5 and 7. Let's say, if that's what you want. You know, you don't need to average a triple-double because it's clearly not working for you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're going to the playoffs, but you guys lost to Utah, who is giving Houston a run for their money, but I never believed in Houston coming into this playoffs anyways. You know, you have two chokers on that team. So, I mean, what do I see? I don't see much. So that's my wrap-up with OKC. Very disappointing. I don't know where it goes from here, but we'll have to see, and we'll have to be patient. I play the patient game. New Orleans is a team that I really wanted to come out and do something, and I wanted them to prove people wrong because I love Playoff Rondo, even though he hates the name. I'm sorry, Rondo, but that's your fucking name. You Playoff Rondo. Because, like, during the season, it's like, yo, does this guy even play ball anymore? And then, boom, playoffs comes, and this guy is balling out, getting everybody involved. Imagine if they had Boogie right now with the floor general that Rondo is and the respect that Boogie has for Rondo. Imagine if Boogie was here. They're going to the finals. A lot of people are like, oh, he ruins chemistry. Yo, have you been pinned? Boogie loves playing with Anthony Davis, and he loves playing with Rondo. Like, he calls those guys his brothers. They're family. And it's about time. It is about time. But at the same time, I told people this was going to happen. I told people this was going to happen. I told you, because Rondo is not the type. Rondo has learned so much from KG and Paul Pierce and all those guys. He has everything in his career to thank those guys for what he's been able to do after they left. The tutelage that he got from KG and those vets is glistening off of him. He brings that same aura that those guys once did. So the way I see it is Rondo is the determining factor of team. And I think that is a series that's going to go 6 or 7 games. It's not going to be a blow-by. The first two games are at home. But the assassin came back. And that's everything we need to worry about. Dropped 28 points on his first game from an injury that I think he's been absent for over a month now. For over a month, this guy's been inactive in a game, and then he comes back during playoffs and drops 28. 28. I used to like want to not be on the hype train for Rondo. For Curry. Like, people are like, oh, the next MJ, da da da. But you know what? Stacked team or not, this guy is amazing. Like, Steph Curry is amazing, and I'm starting to open my eyes a little bit more to what he's been able to do. Yeah, he's injury prone. Paper mache legs, which means paper mache tendons, knees, ankles. Fuck, man, the guy is paper mache. Come see me, Steph, because I'm going to put you through a workout, get some muscle on you, you know, performance training, injury prevention, all that stuff. Just come see me, and I will put you in the gym. So you don't have to get injured no more. I won't even charge you that much. Regular price. Anyways, Stephen Curry is something else. And I told people, the moment Steph Curry comes back, it's game over for the West. And I do see Golden State going to the finals again. And they're going to get another title again. And they'll be the first team to three-peat since the Lakers. Congratulations, guys. You brought a really, really small market team to being a three-peat team, a marketable team, a team that players want to go to, with a system that players want to play in. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of Golden State. From what they were, let's say, 5 years ago to who they are now, big difference. It's crazy. Complete 180 turnaround. I love it. I love it. I mean, I do have some hate Golden State because of the whole KD situation, but that's not on them. You know, that's not on them. They didn't even have to make a pitch. That's the craziest part about it. They didn't even have to make a pitch. They're just like, yo, man, we just lost to LeBron. We could use you. KD ate that up. LeBron, in the finals, I get to make sure, I get to prove that I'm better. Sign me up. Obviously, he's not better than LeBron. It's great. Close. By the end of his career, he probably will be. But not right now. Let's leave LeBron alone. He's great. And he's carrying a shitty team. Beating a shitty team. But anyways, I've already had my segment on that. You already know how I feel about the Toronto Raptors and Cleveland series. But Golden State. Damn. These guys are so dangerous, man. And in the offseason, I don't know what's going to happen with that team. Because there's two important guys that are looking to get paid. They're not going to do the KD and take a pay cut. Because KD's got his Nike and he's got his all this other stuff that's paying him. So he could take the pay cut. But Draymond and Klay and Iggy, I don't know if Iggy's, I think Iggy, he'll take the pay. Actually, you know what? Iggy can go anywhere in the NBA with his proven style of role playing. I just don't think he's going to leave Golden State. He's very comfortable. He's very solidified in his role and his position and all that stuff. So I don't see Iggy leaving. But of the two between Klay and Dre, I think it's going to be Klay. Like, I think Klay, I mean, like, you can replace Klay. You can. Like, he is replaceable. Maybe not to that level, but he is a replaceable. You know, you just got to get a guy that will shoot and then defend if he has to, you know? Stuff like that. So I think Klay is the one that's going to go. Because, I mean, if you get rid of Draymond, Golden State doesn't have that that intensity that they carry, that thing that puts fear into their opponents. They don't eat. Without Draymond, they don't have that. I mean, little Steph, come on, babyface Steph. You're not scaring nobody. I mean, LeBron James looked at you like that in the finals because it's just like, who's talking to me right now? Steph, I'm sorry, but you just don't have it. KD, I'm sorry, you just don't have it. Making fake accounts and starting wars with pedestrians and regular people on the streets. You don't have it. You're too insecure. You've already shown the whole world you're an insecure guy. So you don't have it either. So who's going to step up to the plate? Who's going to be that guy? That's why I don't see Golden State getting rid of Draymond, because Draymond is the heart and soul, the grit of that team. I mean, we've seen what happened when you lose Draymond in the finals. LeBron James comes back. So you got to keep Dre. I'm excited to see where close. Poo-wee! Bring Klay to Boston, even though we don't have the money for him, but bring him to Boston. Just stack us up. I won't even hate. I usually hate stacked teams, but it's my team. No, but realistically, I see Klay going to another team. I don't think he's going to take a pay cut. Why would you take a pay cut? You're going to have 3 rings. You've already proven yourself that you can get paid. And you never know. You get injured the next season, then boom, your stock goes down. So get your money, Klay. Go get your money. And give teams in the West another chance, for Christ's sake. Now we got Houston and Utah. I couldn't even believe that Utah took the squeeze. They squeezed that win. Actually, they didn't even squeeze that win. They earned that win. They beat Houston almost at their own game. That was amazing. People need to stop sleeping on Quinn Snyder, because this guy is, he's the real deal, man. Like, he's like, there's not even a superstar on that team. I would love, you know what would be awesome? A Utah versus Boston finals. Just two system teams that have proven themselves all year long. No superstar. All-star rookie. Just, that would be an amazing finals. Only because of, it's like the finals of the underdog. So, I would say that. But, let's be real. If Utah, I don't, actually, you know what, I can't, I don't, being real at this point, I don't know, because the way that Houston rolled over and flopped on that, in that game, it's like, yo, Utah slapped OKC, they slapped talent, they're not, like, Utah is not scared of anyone, that's the best part about it, they're not scared of anyone, like, they went at a team, OKC, of 3 superstars, 1 former, but 3 superstars that have been in the playoffs their whole career. And Utah went out. I'm like, I don't care. Who the hell are you? Get the hell out of my way. That's what Utah did. And it worked. They slapped OKC. I could not believe that. I could not believe that. And they did it. So I'm not putting it past Utah to get past Houston. And don't forget, guys. I did say the winner of that Houston and OKC series is going to go to the finals. That might change. The winner of this Utah and Houston series may go to the finals. But I just don't see anybody beating Golden State this year. I just don't. I don't. I think Golden State is a lock to go to the... I think Golden State is a lock to go to the finals. And they're just going to be sitting there waiting for the East to clean up that mess that's over there. And I just really hope it's not LeBron, which I don't think it will be. But Brad Stevens versus Steve Kerr in the finals, that's my prediction. That's my prediction. So let's just go back to the Houston and Utah series. I'm not going to lie to you. I only watched the one game, which was the one that Utah won. So I can't really have a solidified opinion on that. But what I want to say is I need to see more from Houston for me to be a believer. I need to see more in these playoffs. You can't have these inconsistent games in a series. You just can't. I need to see more. So show me more. Show me more. This is my West wrap-up. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll be right back.